tell you, that song is a very powerful song. And I think it's a true testament to many of our lives. I think all of us would fail if it wasn't for grace. And I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life that even though we know what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to handle things and how many always do that, even though we know. But aren't you glad for God's grace? To give us the grace that we need and to help us. And I praise the Lord for that. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad His grace is sufficient. And I'm glad His mercies are new every morning. Because if they weren't new every morning, I would run dry on those. And I'm glad God is there for us to help us. And His grace and His mercies there each and every day for our lives. Go ahead and take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Last week, you had the cool pastor. We preached with my prescription sunglasses. I did get new glasses this week. And so I don't have to have the sunglasses to see and be able to do that. But we preached out of the first 7 verses of this chapter. And remember, this whole section is Christian liberty and love illustrated. Christian liberty and love illustrated. This is part 2. Last week was part 1. This ties to the thought there because Paul just got done, remember. Paul just got done telling them if it's going to be a stumbling block to someone, don't do it. Now, yes, I agree with you, Paul said to him. You know, it's just meat. I agree with you. That's a false god. I agree with you. Nothing's going to happen to you, spiritually speaking, because you eat the meat. I agree with all those things. But if it's going to hurt someone else, it's going to sear someone else's conscience, it's going to make someone else stumble, then Paul says, it's best that I'll never eat meat. I'll stay away from that. And there's many that say, well, Paul, how could you say that? That's their problem. That's their fault. They need to get bond. And Paul said, you know what? They may be weaker than you. You may be spiritually mature. You may be able to handle the meat, but they haven't been taught that. They're not at that level. So you try to go and help them, grow them, mature them, help them seek, get them closer to God. But there's many that struggle with what Paul was saying. So Paul now goes into this chapter here, chapter number 9, and Paul goes into chapter 9 and he starts to give illustrations and reasons why he's saying what he's saying. And he's going to illustrate it with his own life. Verse 1 of chapter 9, remember this, and then we'll get into verses 8 and on this morning. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ the Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? So Paul now goes and he starts to give reasons. And he says, all right, I want you to see who I am and what I am able to do. And because I'm an apostle, because it's been proven that I've seen the Lord, because it's been proven of the work that's been taking place in the church of Corinth, I have the ability to go ahead and get taken care of for my needs. He gave some illustrations of the soldier. He gave illustrations of the farmer. He gave these illustrations and said, hey, if they work, they get paid. If they do this, the soldier doesn't go have to work another job. The soldier's taken care of. The farmer, he's able to eat of what he harvests and what he brings, and it takes care of him. He's able to trade that. He's able to do that. He's able to supply his needs. He doesn't go have to work another job. He doesn't have to go do something else. And so he gives all these illustrations. He gives these reasons for this. But then he gets in and he says, all right, it's not just man's way of doing it. And this is where we get into this morning. It's God's way of doing it. He says this in verse 8. Read along with me as I read in chapter 9. We'll start in verse number 8. It says, say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope shall be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used his power, but suffering all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do we not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask that you would just illuminate your scriptures this morning. Lord, help us to see the principles, the truths you want us to glean from this portion this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Look again at verse 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? Paul wanted them now to understand the principle that he was giving, that this is coming from God. All right? As we look at this principle of Christian liberty and love illustrated, he now gives the idea, it's God's speaking. It's God's law. I'm going to speak now from God. I give you some physical illustrations. I give you some illustrations that came from man, but now I'm going to give you an illustration that comes from God. Now, I want to say this. I think it's very important that we look at many illustrations times to get principles and to get truths. But what's the better illustration? What is a better place to go than even looking at things from this world? It's from God's word. And he says, all right, I have the right, not just based upon what man says, but I have the right to be subsidized for my work based on God's law. Now, what he was saying is this. Remember, Paul did take money from other places. Paul did take money from other churches. Other churches, other individuals supported Paul individually. He's talking here specifically to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, the church at Corinth, I'm not taking this, and I'm showing you why, and showing I have all the right to this. I have all the Christian liberty, if you will, to take money, but it's coming from God's law as well that I don't. This, I'm not speaking just of man, I'm speaking from God. I say these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also. Now the law, that was the beginning of the writings of the scrolls in the Bible, all right? This is what it's talking about. It says, isn't it back in the law? Isn't it back in God's word that it says that we can do this? He's taking this principle, if you want to jot this down and look this up sometime, the principle that he's going to give in this portion of scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. So he's saying this is coming from the law. This is coming from a principle in God's word. This is not just me saying this. What I'm going to give you as another illustration comes from God. Again, if you want to look this up, Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4 is where this principle comes from. And he says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth upon the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? He says, you should not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. The general practice is this. If the ox is doing its job, the ox is going to get taken care of. Don't muzzle the ox. Don't keep from the ox what the ox deserves to get. The ox deserves to get this. He deserves to get the crop, those things that are there. He says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn, that God take care for the oxen. So his idea is this. God's word says in Deuteronomy that you're not to muzzle. You're to allow the ox to do this. Number two, if God's going to take care of the ox, is not God going to take care of his man? Now, we see that principle in Matthew. God talks about the birds, the ravens. He says, if I'm going to take care of them, don't you worry. If I'm going to take care of them, I'm going to take care of you. And the idea is this. Paul says, if God cares for the animals, God cares for his workers, those that are serving him, those that are ministering, those that are doing this. And he says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of it. It's okay for me to get paid. It's okay for me to get support from the church because I'm doing God's work. And God is, if the ox gets paid, then God's going to take care of his laborer. Now, Paul is stressing this because there are some that are going to misinterpret this and say, well, Paul, you're laying it out, then no person that does the work of the Lord should ever get paid. Do you know there is religions out there today that don't pay their leader? All right? Now, there is that thought. And the reason they don't pay their leader is because they believe that leader should do it and do those things. Now, I understand that. Because I don't think the reverse side is the prosperity gospel that's been done and people try to get rich off the gospel. I think the concept of the teaching is not that you should not take care of God's man, because Paul even says, you need to take care of those. You need to take care of evangelists. You need to take care of missionaries. You need to take care of pastors. You need to take care of those that have given their lives for those things. He says, that's what's supposed to be done. I'm not doing it in this case, but it doesn't mean you don't do it. But you don't get rich off of this. Anyone remember the Christer Cathedral? And do you know today that is totally a different thing? And did anyone know how much that cost to build? And do you know the money that was raised and the way the money was raised? Basically, the money that was raised was given in this light. If you didn't give the money, you weren't going to heaven. Now, it was said in nicer words than that. But that's basically the concept. Even in other religions, and I don't want to badmouth any religion this morning and purposely offend anybody, but there's other religions out there today. Guess what they do? You don't give, you're putting yourself in the lower heaven, not the higher heaven. You don't give, you might not even make it out of purgatory. You don't give, you don't. Wait a second. Now, there's two sides to this coin. You have to take care of, you have to do this. And what he's saying is this, and we're going to address this as we get a little further on. He's saying, as you support God's man, you're supporting God's work. You're supporting what God wants to do. Now, don't muzzle this. Don't do this. It's that spirit that men, as they work for God, should be taken care of. Why? Because if you're in the ministry, your heart and soul should be what? Concentrated on what? The ministry. Now, I want to say something. A lot of people in our world think pastors work one day a week now. Sundays. All right? Now, I'll be honest with you. I put a lot in on a Sunday. I get here very early on a Sunday. But I don't count Sunday as part of the day I work. I don't take off 2 days a week. That's just me. And I'm not saying you're bad for doing it if someone does that. Because I don't count Sunday that. Because I expect people to be here Sunday. I expect people to serve on Sunday. I expect people to do things on Sunday. Now, don't please. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back by any stretch of the imagination. I'm here probably before anyone ever gets here Sunday. I'm probably here before some of you get out of bed Sunday. And usually I'm probably one of the last ones to leave, which is fine. But to me, what that purpose is what? We all need to be serving God. We all need to be faithful on Sunday. We all need to be serving. We all need to be doing. We all need to be part of that ministry. But that's not the only day a pastor works. Now, I'll be honest. It'll be nice some days. And Dick knows this, as even as a deacon in that. And the others know this. That even as a deacon in that, you don't work a 9-to-5-hour job. I don't know. And I know Dick doesn't as much now. But there's times we've all gotten phone calls at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. I just got one not too long ago, and which is fine. If you need me, call me. Now, if it's about something small, then we'll have an issue, all right? If it's, what should I eat for dinner today, then I'll have a problem. If it's something you need, I'm there. Call me at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It may take more than 2 rings to get me, but I'll answer. And if I don't answer, I'll call you right back. Because that's what it's supposed to be. That's what you're supposed to do. And what Paul's saying as a minister is working, as those that are involved in ministry, those are serving, they need to be taken care of. Why? Because their heart, their soul ought to be to the ministry, ought to be doing. That's God's law. Don't muzzle the ox. Take care of it. Giving to the Lord's worker is giving to the Lord. Think about that for a moment. Giving to the Lord's worker is giving to the Lord. Because who has called pastors? Who has called evangelists? Who has called missionaries? Who has called those into ministry? Now, I'm careful on that because I believe we're all called in full-time ministry, by the way. I believe every believer is called to full-time ministry. Now, I believe it's different in the sense that some, that's all they do. And some have, they work other jobs. But we're all called to be full-time Christians. We're all to be called full-time involved in ministry. But those that are full-time means this is their main way of survival, of being taken care of. As you give to them, you give into the Lord's work. Because the Lord's work, God has called pastors, he's called those individuals to what? To lead, not to be the dictator, but to lead the church, to lead individuals, to make sure things are taken care of, to make sure things are done, to make sure that we are going in the right direction and headed the right way, to put those in. And as we do that, the Lord's work continues. The Lord's work goes further. That's God's law. Now look at verse 12. Well, actually, verse 11. I'm sorry, I skipped over verse 11. I do want to hit a couple of thoughts here. As we go, it's God's law. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. Now, at first reading that, I don't know about you, but I kind of go, huh, what? And my face gets a smile on the face because it's kind of funny. If I reap spiritual things, you're going to give carnal things. Now, we think carnal in our mind as bad things, all right? And this portion of Scripture is not talking about bad things. It's talking about materialistic things that they have acquired, all right? That's what the carnal is. The carnal here in this verse is not talking about a carnal Christian or a carnal believer, someone that is living in the world. All right, someone that's doing that. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about that which you get physically from this world or material possessions. And if you're going to reap spiritual things, then I should be able to reap materialistic things. All right, and I'm careful using that word because a lot of times when we use the word materialistic, we think, well, that's bad because you're a materialistic type of person. What it's talking about is this. If you're going to reap spiritual things, then those that are serving God, those missionaries, those evangelists, those individuals that are serving God should be taken care of with financial, with tangible items to take care of their need. Now, in that day, they didn't always pay individuals, all right? They gave you items. Some of you have read books and different things. Sometimes doctors in the old days, they got paid by chickens. They got paid by livestock and different things, and that's how they got paid. And then they would take that livestock, that cow, and either use it for milk if it was a milking cow, or if it was for a beef cow, they would use that for beef, and that's how they would survive. That's how they would do things. If there was a day that you would barter, you would trade different things. You would go to the store, and you would have your dozen eggs, and they would buy your dozen eggs, and then you would take that credit that you got from those dozen eggs, and you would use it to buy something else in the store, some material to make clothes or different things, and you would trade and you barter. And he says, all right, as much as you're reaping spiritually, I should be reaping and being able to take care of my needs. I have that ability is what Paul's saying. Paul says, I have that liberty. I have that. Verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul says, what I'm doing, and the reason I should be able to take this, is I'm not doing it for my spirit, my gain. I'm doing it for others. At verse 12, if you look at that, and we had some time to really break that down, that's what Paul's saying. He says, you know what? You've supported others in the past. You need to continue supporting. And you know what? What I'm doing is not for myself. It's for you. Do you know any type of ministry we have to realize this? One, we've supported pastors in the past. We've supported missionaries in the past. We supported evangelists in the past. I want to tell you, we have taken well care of evangelists that have come through this church. And I would have to look up for sure, and I meant to do that, and I forgot, Rick. But I think we gave, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Brother Chauvin, we were somewhere around $3,500 that came in as a love offering. I mean, for our small church, that is amazing. That is amazing that we would do that. Do you know there's bigger churches that don't even give half of what we gave? And not saying they're bad churches, don't take it wrong, but that's the whole idea is, all right, you take care of it, you take care of those things, and you do it for others. Do you know evangelists? My heart, I have a heart for evangelists. And those that have been around long enough to know if the Lord ever led that way, that's always been my heart, but the Lord has not led that way. He's kept me here to keep Tina in line for 20 years, all right? So he hasn't called me to that. But what's that? Hasn't worked yet? So what Wanda said, all right. And, oh, Tina said that. And, you know, but the evangelist, I tell you, you talk about individuals that step out and go and do. Now, I do have, I'm going to share something. I have a hard problem with some evangelists that do things a little different. There are some that will send you a list of demands and a list of what they need ahead of time and what they need to send and how they need to send this and how they need to do this and that. But our evangelists, the main ones we have in, Brother Lynch, Brother Chauvin, and Brother Summerdorf, do you know all those? They come in and they give of themselves, and it's our responsibility to give back to them. And I tell you, I brag on those evangelists because I'll tell you, they're not perfect. They've been here, most of them have been here a long time, all right? Some of us know them better than we know some other people in this church, all right? We know them well. They're not perfect. They're the first ones to tell you. But I would tell you, every one of those, when they come into church, they're prepared and ready, yes, to do what they're doing, Brother Lynch with his music and Summerdorf and them with their preaching and that. They're prepared. Don't get me wrong. But you know what they do more than that? They come in, they look at ways to serve. They come looking ways to give their heart and to do those things. I tell you, those Brother Rich knows. Summerdorf's been out watering the garden before, pulling weeds out in their garden before. Brother Chauvin has jumped on the lawnmower a few times. Brother Dick says keep him off of it. But he's been on the lawnmower a couple times and does things. Brother Lynch, I came in one day, and he was going through emptying trash in the church and taking care of this. Here's a guy that's old, and not to be mean, Brother Lynch, I know you're probably watching, and that, but older. But emptying trash, taking, cleaning, doing things, that's not their responsibility. That's not what they're supposed to do. They're here to what? To preach, right? They're here to do the music. They're here to do those things. But you know what? It shows their heart. And as we see their heart, as they're serving God, as they're ought to be serving God, we ought to step up and take care of them. That's what Paul's saying here. And he says, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for others. Do you know, and please don't take this the wrong way, a true pastor, a true evangelist, a missionary, is doing it for the Lord and doing it for others. They're not doing it for personal gain. And please, and I hate even to preach through this as a pastor, because I don't want anyone to think things. But here's the thought. If a pastor or missionary evangelist did something else, do you know most of them would have careers or jobs or whatever you want to call it? I know this isn't really a job, it's a ministry. But they would have things that would take care of them better than what they do. Not saying anything bad. Please don't take that the wrong way. I'm just laying it out there. Because do you know a lot of pastors have more education than most people have? And they have that, and in our society, and I know it's shifting a little bit, but most pastors would have education equivalent to what others are making other amounts for and taking care of. But you know what? A true pastor doesn't care about that. Why? Because they're doing, and a true missionary, and a true evangelist, they don't care about. Why? Because they're doing this work not for themselves, not for personal gain. They're doing it for the glory of God and for the gospel. And that's what Paul's saying here. We're going to get into this in a minute. He's saying, I'm not doing it for this. I'm doing it for others. In spite of the reasons that he gave, Paul says this. Look again in verse 12. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. He says, I have every right based on God's word. I have every right based on what I can do for others and what you've done in the past for others, what has been taken care of. But I waive my right, nevertheless, because I don't want the gospel hindered. I don't want anyone to say that Paul is in it for money. That's what he's saying. Now, I don't know about you, I've watched some TV evangelists from time to time. It's entertainment. Come on, be nice. Some of you look at me like, oh, I can't believe you would ever do that. I mean, come on. When you see those individuals waving their white hanky and doing their little dance, and then the organ's playing. I thought I would have Tanya for illustration, but I didn't do it. While I was preaching, come over here and do the organ. And you know what I'm talking about. And the things. Now, you tell me that's not entertaining. But Paul says, I'm not like them. I don't want the gospel hindered. I'm not in it for money. Now, I'm not going to ask you to mention it, but most of you in this room can mention some Christian leaders, TV evangelists, that you would say was in it for money. Some of you would say, that person, oh, they did this. How many have heard about some of them that have their own private jets? And that, I mean, that, and is it wrong for them to have those things? Probably not, but where are they using the private jets to go to? All right? Let me tell you, most of them, and I'm saying all of them, is not to the mission field. It's to places of their leisure. All right? Again, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody. That's between them and God. But the idea is this, and not that the pastors can't enjoy things. Now, I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying is, you don't want to be labeled as someone that's trying to take away from the gospel. That's what Paul says. Paul says, what's more important to me than my Christian liberty, than being taken care of financially, is that the gospel continues and goes further. You know what? That ought to be the goal of every one of us in this room. More than anything in our lives, more than our Christian liberty, more than our ability to say, hey, we deserve this. We can have this. That's not what Paul was trying to get him to see. He says, more than you saying I can eat this meat, more than any of this, I want you to understand the gospel's more important than my Christian liberty. God's word going out and making a difference in the life of individuals is more important than you and I to have our freedoms, our rights, our liberties, and ours to do what we want to do. That's what Paul was saying. He's saying, this is the truth I want you to get. I want you to see this. Look at verse 13. Do we not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. He says, you know what the example's given? Verse 13, the priests are able to do it. He says, even God said it, but now he says, even the Lord said it's okay in verse 14. But he says, I'm not doing this because I'm glorifying God and I want my glorying to become void. I don't want what I'm preaching to not go anywhere. Because what I'm preaching is on Christ, and I don't want to do anything to take away from it. I want us, we could develop verse 13, verse 14 more, but you know the thoughts there. But I want to end with this. What we do, if we don't do it the right way, takes away from the gospel, takes away from glorifying God. Do you know what every purpose of us as believers is to do? Is to further the gospel and glorify God. And what Paul was saying is, I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder that. Do you know as believers, we do stuff many times that hinders the gospel and hinders the glory going to God? You know, I started to think about this as I was preparing for this. What are some things that hinder the gospel for me as an individual, as a believer? Now, Paul was saying, hey, if I took this and people could say I'm doing it for financial gain, that's going to take away from the gospel. Yes, I've taken some support from other churches, but I'm not from Corinthians because I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. And he's illustrating this truth in love. He says, now, as much as that, he goes, I want you to understand, I want to make sure that I glorify God and not take away from the gospel. How do we do that? How do we hinder the gospel? How do we take the glory away from God? When it becomes about us, not the Lord's work. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I think a lot of times, the reason we get our feelings hurt in a church, when we're serving in a church, and we take the glory away from God is because it becomes about us. It's really not about serving God. Now, I want to say a couple things in that. Because I think sometimes what we do is we say we're serving God and we want to further the gospel. But man, if we don't get that pat on the back from someone and that name drop from the pulpit, well, Brother Dick Smith, he is such a great guy. Now, I'm using this illustration just far from the truth. No, just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Or so-and-so did something in the church. We had that. We had someone leave the church about 10 years ago, I think about now, because they did some work in the church, and I'd never, from the pulpit, mention them by name of what they did. And they left. Tina knows what I'm talking about. They've been around. Lori probably remembers that too. And they got upset and left. Wait. What are we doing this for? What does that do? That takes the glory away from the Lord. You know what? I think we need to be very careful to let people know what we're doing. I've never, and I try my best, never, and I say that because we all make mistakes, but so I don't want to say never, but as much as I can, I try never to mention someone's giving or someone's name or someone gave this big amount to the church or this or that. Why? Because the glory goes to God. The glory doesn't go to that person. And the reason they do this, and the reason they do, why? Because the glory needs to go to him. Now, I appreciate people, and I appreciate people doing things. And I'm even careful. Now, I tease Rich about gardening and stuff and that. But I know Rich's heart, and I know where Rich is doing it. Rich is not doing it for his glory. He's doing it for the glory of the Lord and help take care of and help provide. And we praise the Lord for that. And I do thank him for his work and thank him for that. But the glory is not going to him. The glory is going to the Lord. And I know Rich hates any time I even say anything about the garden. He wish I'd just be quiet. Some of you say, well, can you be quiet now so it can be done? And that. Now the glory needs to go there. I'm glad for people in the church that serve. And maybe I do need to say more of that. And I try to send texts and try to do it privately. And I try to tell them when I talk them on the phone, I appreciate them and I tell them. But I'm maybe I need to do more from the pulpit. But I'm careful of that because I don't want to put someone else on the pedestal. God needs to be on the pedestal. God needs to be lifted up. The glory needs to go to him. I tell you, I mention this now because he's passed away a few years back. Roy Wright was such a servant. No one knew what Roy did to the extent that Roy did. Now, they knew he stood in the back and hand out program. Let me tell you, till his health got bad, Roy came down several times a week and say, Pastor, let's go door to door. Roy would come down several times a week, and I would be looking out my window. There's Roy pulling weeds. Never asked. Never did. Why? Because the glory went to the Lord. Now, those that knew Roy knew he was not a speaker. Knew he was not one to that. When we go door to door, he never said a word. He made me talk. But he would go with me because he was not going to talk. That's not him. That wasn't him. And I can say this because he's passed away now, right? But the glory goes to the Lord. This is what it is. No one ever knew this. Some may because they came down and saw things or different things. But it was never, he did this or he did that or how wonderful he is. Now I mentioned someone, he passed away a little bit and some of that. And some of you knew from there. But Roy did a lot of things. Why? Because he wanted people to say how great Roy was. No. Because he wanted to glorify God and see the gospel. Paul is saying this to the church of Corinth. I have all the rights to be supported. But I realized in this church it would cause a problem. And because it would cause a problem, I refrain from taking the support because to me, the ministry, the gospel is more important. You know what that needs to be the main thing in our lives? The gospel has to be the most important thing. Glory needs to go to God. Glory needs not go to ourselves. You see, one of the reasons that we mentioned why the glory doesn't go to the Lord and the reason the gospel isn't further is because we think it's about us. Number two, the second reason I believe that the glory doesn't go to the Lord in that is it goes hand in hand with the first. But we get wrapped up in our lives. See, we think we need the pat on the back, but we also think my schedule, my life, my things that I'm doing are important. I don't know about you, but I'm busy. I think everyone in this room is busy, even those retired. Maybe not Sister Tina, because she has time to sit 5 hours at In-N-Out waiting for a burger that's not that good. And so to do that. But most of us in this room are busy. Even those retired say they're busier now than they were before, some in different ways. We're busy. How many feel like you're spinning your wheels from the time you get up to the time you go to bed and you just can't even stop sometimes? Even when you go to bed, that brain is still going, right? Because we're busy. We're busy people. But we have allowed our busyness to get in the way and hinder the gospel and hinder the glory going to the Lord. Another area that I think we hinder then glory goes to the Lord. Is sometimes we allow good things to get in the way. Good things. I think that's the truth that's even taught in Hebrews chapter 12. It's not just the sin, it's the extra weights that hold us down. And I think sometimes those extra weights are actually good things. I don't know about you, but I enjoy some things. I enjoy doing certain things. And there's nothing wrong with the certain things. But here's the problem. Those good things sometimes can take me away from glorifying God and furthering the gospel. One of my favorite things to do is actually spending time with my family. I don't have a lot of hobbies. Those know that. I don't care to go take care of Bambi. That just doesn't thrill my soul. To throw a fishing pole in the water and watch for bubbles and the thing to drop down does not thrill my soul. Now, I'll do it if my kids want to do it because I want it, but I don't need to do that, all right? I don't need to do some of those other things. You know, that doesn't bother. Those things I don't need to do. But I like to spend time with my family. But if I spend so much time with my family and it takes me away, even though that's a good thing, even though it's a thing said in the Word of God to do, if it takes me away from what I'm supposed to be doing, it furthers the gospel and glorifying God, it becomes a bad thing. And that's hindered the gospel, that's hindered. This is the idea. Those things are going to hinder. I have the Christian liberty. I have the freedom. I have the right to spend as much time with my family as I want. But guess what would happen? If I spend all my time with my family and not doing what God has called me to do, then it's taken away from glorifying God and furthering the gospel. Everyone in this room, you've had to work one day or another in your life. Do you know what? There's nothing wrong with the job. But do you know there are some jobs and some people that their job has hindered them from doing the gospel, furthering the gospel as they should, and the glory going to the Lord? Why? Because they become what we have entitled workaholics. All right? And what do? That's all they do. And they don't do anything else. They neglect the Word of God. They neglect prayer. They neglect this. They neglect their families. They neglect taking the gospel. They neglect and neglect and neglect. Wait. It's not bad to work. We need to work. You don't work, you don't eat. You need to. But I'm not to take away from the gospel. I have the right to work. But my right to work is not to hinder the gospel. My right to anything, we can give any illustration. We're going to bring this to a close. We can use any illustration we want. But he's saying, my Christian liberty and love illustrated is this. I see my liberty. I see my freedom. I see my rights. But I waive it because I want God to be glorified. I see that I can do it, but I say I'd rather not do it. So God's name is glorified throughout this world. That's what Paul was trying to get him to see. God's law said it's okay. It was shown in the examples. It was shown in the priest. It was shown as the Lord directed. It was shown in all those areas. I have the right, Paul said, but I want God to be lifted up and glorified more than my rights. Let's put our liberty, our rights down, and let's lift up the name of Jesus.